This is Smash Notes, a podcast that brings you weekly summary of the best podcasts on the internet. Before we begin, I want to give a quick shout out to James Bishara from a podcast called Below the Line. First of all, they just achieved a great milestone. They crossed 10,000 downloads. And second, James is using Smash Notes summaries to promote his podcast. This helps his listeners see what's inside the episode, find the interesting bits for them in particular, and convinces those people who are on the line that each episode is worth listening because they already know what's going to be inside. You can find a link to Below the Line from the front page of smashnotes.com and see for yourself. And now, last thing before we begin, as I promised, every week I try to feature an indie artist. Here's a band called Pink Roses with a single West Side. If you like the snippet, the rest is in the end of the episode. She either goes to the western coast with the top down back, you already know just where we're going to. She the signs of the western lines when your heart beats fast and you hold on tight, cause you already know. And now, Smash Notes episode for this week. Are you ready? Let's do this. First, we have an episode from the Ezra Klein Show where he asks Melinda Gates about life in 2030. What world is possible and what to do to get there? Here's her answer.
Well, to be frank, all the member countries of the United Nations set out the goals they have for 2030, which is to try and imagine what is actually possible, whether it's climate change, whether it's fewer deaths for women, fewer deaths for kids, less disease, better forests. I mean, that is the vision they set out. But, you know, like Bill and I, we have absolute goals that we think are achievable. We want childhood mortality has been cut in half since 1990. Cut in half. That is a phenomenal number. It's going to get cut in half again by 2030. It's actually harder now because we've actually cleaned up the low-hanging fruit. So we have some hard, innovative stuff that has to happen. Maternal deaths, they can get cut by substantially. So to me, I see a world in 2030 that if we make the right investments as a nation and as a world, I mean, it takes both the developing country to make certain investments and it takes the developed world to make certain investments. We can have a much more peaceful and prosperous world in 2030, no doubt.
There, you heard it. It's totally doable to get to a world that's even better than the world we live in today. We just need to do some work. And speaking of work, as you may know, I really like startups. There's something incredibly addicting about being able to try and do everything and do something that other people find impossible or maybe don't understand quite yet. But sometimes startup founders could be perceived a little insane. So instead of telling you my opinion about startups, I'm going to have successful entrepreneur and millionaire Justin Kahn tell you about his view on why entrepreneurship and being a founder is so exhilarating.
Well, I've been a founder for a long time, started in 2015, so it's been 14 years of starting companies and being an investor. I think the number one best part about it is that it forces you to grow. As a founder, you are constantly put into situations where you're outside your comfort zone. I'm sure I know you experience that a lot. And for better or for worse, whatever happens, the good things, the bad things, you are going to learn. You're going to have to learn. It's going to get beaten into you. And so I think that is a tremendously, amazingly valuable experience, right? It's not something that everyone gets. You know, I've raised $150 million or something like that so far. And who gets to spend $150 million on how to learn, learning how to build a company and learning how to, not just building a company skills, but like other skills, right? Human skills. Like, how do you lead people? How do you organize people? How do you market something? All those things. It's like almost like a nine-figure business school, right? That's incredible.
Right.
What an incredible opportunity to be able to marshal that kind of resources for your own education. It's like the opportunity of a lifetime or lifetimes,
Right.
That's my favorite part.
See, being startup founder is just so incredibly valuable. And speaking of value, even though it took Justin quite a while to get to a successful financial outcome, when they did get there, they did really, really well. One of the companies was Twitch.tv that sold to Amazon for almost $1 billion, never mind the other couple of startups that he started and sold in the process. But with all of that, Justin has a very unusual opinion on financial wealth. You may know a lot of people who are chasing either startups or just high-income jobs so they can get more money. But Justin doesn't think that getting a lot of money is actually all that useful. So one more piece from Justin here. Check out this.
You know, your outcome, you think it's going to make you happy, but it doesn't. It doesn't make you unhappy. It just doesn't do anything, right? Like, you might be happy for a second, a minute, an hour, a day, or even a week, if you like look at your bank account. But it doesn't affect, it doesn't change your relationships with other people. It doesn't change your access to doing things that you like to do that give you joy, right? So it doesn't really change those baselines. And, you know, at the time of we exited and did not continue, you know, I wasn't working at Amazon or anything. I was kind of between things to do. I was spending a lot of time just by myself, you know, not doing anything. And so, you know, there was days I was just like sitting there looking at Netflix and Twitch on my iPhone, right? And that's like, I remember this one time when I, and actually this has happened to like quite a few friends of mine. This is before we had any exit. There was a friend of one of my roommates who had sold his company for, you know, he had a nice exit, didn't ever have to work again. He was a young guy, but he just spent all day sitting at home playing video games, which you could do with no money, right? And so it was just like a, you know, it's kind of sad because here you are with all these resources, but at the same time, you like your life is just, it's what you make out of it. It's depressing or not depressing, as your ability to make your life less depressing and more joyful is completely, you know, after a certain point of resources, of wealth or whatever, which is pretty low actually, you know, it's entirely up to you, I guess is the point. And so, you know, that's really the experience. And that's the experience that I was going through. It was just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? What should I do with my time? Kind of independent of like having money or not having, you know, it's like, what do I want to spend my time doing?
See, I find it remarkable that somebody who has everything financially would still go out and tell you that, look, beyond basic needs, really money does not do all that much for you. I think it's incredibly invaluable to hear in the world that's so focused on money. And with that, I want to share a little bit of personal news. I didn't need Justin to help me make this decision. We've already made this before, but I think what Justin just said helps to reiterate this. Anyways, for next year, I've got two kids. They're 4 and 2. So for next year, we're going to take them out of school and actually going to go travel for a substantial period of the year. It's not that we're wealthy or have all the money, but it's actually quite the opposite. Like you heard Justin say, you know, you don't need all the money to make the choices that will make you happy. And I think living in suburbs for a year is going to be a lot less meaningful than if we go somewhere new and different and experience different place, whether that's internationally or locally in the United States. It doesn't matter. It just needs to be different. And speaking of new and different, here's my next episode. This is an excerpt from the interview between James Bishara and Sahil Lavinga. Sahil Lavinga is the founder of Gumroad, a company that used to be based in San Francisco, then went through a bunch of ups and downs, and eventually Sahil decided, you know what, he didn't need to be in San Francisco. He's going to go find something new and be in a different place for a while to learn how people live outside of the tech bubble. So Sahil moved his company to Provo, Utah. While he was in San Francisco, the only thing people wanted to know was how big his company was, how many employees he had, how much money he has raised in his last round, and who his investors were. But what about Utah?
And none of that matters. You can't walk into a conversation and say, like, hey, nice to meet you. You know, I have 17 employees I've raised from Klein & Perkins, Caulfield Buyers. People would look at you like you're insane. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, they have their own priorities, right? They have their own measure of what value is to the world, right? Like, are you a member of the church? Where do you go to church? Are you married? Do you have kids? The questions I think are actually pretty similar, even though they sound really different in terms of gauging like how you spend your time in the way that sort of this society has represented value and like what is important, right? Are you going to church? Are you faithful? Are you sort of living the gospel, you know?
So those are the types of questions you'd get.
Surprisingly so. Coffee. Yeah. A lot of people, like I tweeted it out. Like, these are some of the questions that I get. And, you know, people from that community are like, there's no way you get these questions. I'm like, You'd be surprised. There are some people that are super blunt, and sometimes I don't get those questions directly. They're through layers, you know.
Like what? What's an example?
Like, I think a pretty common one is where are you from, which is sort of a mask over like, what are you doing in Utah? Are you a member of the church, or like, what else brought you here? Is a pretty common one,
right? Which is totally a common question here in San Francisco too. Of like, where are you from? Oh, what brought you here? It's basically like,
yeah, what brought you here?
What, you know, what do you do?
What, yeah, what do you do? But in Utah, it's not where do you work, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like trying to figure out what right. you, what company you're working for, but like, are you a member of the church? If not, like, why Utah? You know, it's a very, there's sort of, it happens in any homogenous society. Excuse me. When you have sort of 90% of the population that you interact with sort of believing the same thing, believing that thing or not believing that thing becomes significant. It becomes like the statement, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas like, if, for example, if everyone is wearing a red shirt and you're the only person wearing a black shirt, it's inherently interesting. Mm-hmm. You can't help but make it interesting. In Utah, that would be like swearing, you know? By swearing, you're making a statement. You cannot not make a statement if you say a swear word, because it's right. so obvious that you're breaking the pattern, mm-hmm. right? And so I think it's sort of like that, where you very quickly figure out what homogeny looks like based on a lot of those criteria.
Okay, so that was a little bit about Sahil's experience being in Provo, Utah, as a brown Muslim, otherwise agnostic, tech CEO in a town that's Mormon and white. You may not have heard that in this particular segment, but Sahil's experience in Provo seems to be overall very positive. So I'm going to link to his blog post and to the rest of the show notes for this podcast in my show notes, and then you can go check it out and see for yourself. To also hear, though, a different opinion about Utah, I want to share a segment from Bryce Roberts, a VC from Indie.VC Fund, talking about living in Salt Lake City, not Provo granted, but Salt Lake City, as a member of the Mormon Church, but somebody who did not grow up in Utah. You'll find it really interesting. Check it out.
I think it's interesting. I, having not grown up there, but also being a member of the church, the last place you want to end up is Utah, because Utah is just, it was always perceived as like backwater. You know, the church has this kind of weird, you know, kind of influence over the state. You get that close to the church and you start to pick up like the politics of it. And so when you don't grow up there, that's really the last place you want to end up. But I think that's starting to change. I think what's interesting is people who come and visit now will come and they'll say, I had no idea I could get like not just coffee at all, but like really good coffee. There's, you know, there's local breweries, there's, you know, recognized notable chefs that are creating restaurants. There's, you know, world-class, you know, arts community that's coming up. And so it's like people come and most of them have they came through on a road trip once, or they came to go skiing and they kind of buzzed right through Salt Lake up to Park City. When they actually like come into town and we can show them, take them to some restaurants, you know, take them around town, show them some of the more interesting things, I think a lot of them are shocked. And when I talk to my friends who are CEOs in Salt Lake, they're just finding, especially as the Bay Area is doing what the Bay Area is doing right now, it's just so much easier to recruit out of the Bay Area. When people can come here and experience Salt Lake, they just, you know, they fall in love with it pretty quickly.
It seems like Utah is a pretty rad place to go live for a little while. So if you're like me and you want to take off for a couple months with your family and go live somewhere different than you, hey, maybe Utah is the place to do it. And now, if you've listened this far, this is our last segment for today. This is from a podcast called Disrupting Japan, where the podcast host is talking about how he was able to grow his audience. If you're a podcaster, this is going to be very valuable to you, because this is going to tell you how to go and grow your own audience. And if you're a listener, I hope you can support your favorite podcast in the way he describes.
The most effective way I found to grow Disrupting Japan was via interaction. Online, this meant finding the handful of Facebook and LinkedIn groups interested in Japanese startups, and then in joining in the discussions. Most groups welcomed my contribution. However, it was my offline efforts that made the biggest impact. I sought out any event or seminar where I could speak about Japanese startups and innovation. And every time I spoke, I saw a small uptick in listeners and in email subscriptions. Oh, and by the way, that email list turned out to be far more important than I expected, for two reasons. First, casual surveys showed me that about 25% of Disrupting Japan fans were not subscribing to the podcast, but they were going to the site and listening from the browser or simply reading the transcript. Second, people seem to be far more willing to engage over email. Even today, when an episode is released, one or two people may comment on the site, but around 20 will reply to the email announcement. Disrupting Japan's were, and still are, extremely engaged. And most guests tell me they receive a lot of positive feedback about their appearance on the show.
Ba-dum-bum-bum. This concludes this week's episode of Smash Notes. If you like what you heard, please go to wherever you listen to your podcast and give me a 5-star review or a 6-star or 12-star. Basically, if you can help me share this with your friends and audience that outside of my sphere of influence, that's going to help me grow the audience and make this a more popular podcast. Thank you. And now to finish this podcast, West Side by Pink Roses. I'm going to link to them in the show notes. And if you live in Los Angeles, they're going to have a show on June 22nd. So it's not too late to go buy some tickets. All right. See you next time.
Take me to the west side. I want to take a long drive. Won't sleep until the sunrise. I want to stay up all night with you. Oh, I've been waiting on a western drive with the sun on my face. And I've been thinking about you all the time. Let me show you this place. Show you the coast to the western coast with the top down back. You already know just where we're going to. Show you the signs of the western lines when your heart beats fast and you hold on tight. Cause you already know. Oh, I will show you where we used to go to. Hearts beat heavy in the city where we all grew. Bikes in the basement, grab it and we'll take it all the way. We'll ride through hallways of our. Take me to the west. To reflect the stars set in your eyes, and my heart just skips a beat. Oh, I will show you where we used to go to. Hearts beat heavy in the city where we all grew. Bikes in the basement, grab it and we'll take it all the way. We'll ride through hallways of a. Take me.